Blog Talk Radio.
Looking through a telescope to see where you're going to be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through, because they built your love through. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your head. Your brain may never fall.
What the Bible says in the book of James.
proud faith shall save the sick. The Lord will raise them up once again. Yeah, that encourages me to praise Him along the way to my breakthrough.
Father God, be with those that have asked us to keep them in prayer, Father God, no matter what they may be facing, No matter what they're going through, we know you're a way maker out of no way. Be with those that are sick and shut in, those who are bereaved, Father God, that you will keep them in perfect peace, Father God. And that's what your word tells us, that you will keep those that keep you in perfect peace. You are going to give us your peace, not the peace that the world has, but the peace that you offer. So, Father God, bless each and every one. Be with those that are sick and seeking a healing. You said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. So help us to stand on your word, Father God, no matter what we're facing. As the songs say, we won't give up, and we're going to wait no matter how long it takes, Father God. Help us to trust you at your word and just stand firm and give up. Lord, we're just thankful for each and every one. Continue to have your way in our life, Father God, and continue to bless our pastor as we keep him lifted up before you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. I sure appreciate that prayer.
That's right.
Anything for you? We've been talking about a better plan for you, life in the Word of God. And in Revelation 2, and we're going to start with verse 9 through, well, you know what, we can read through 11, but let me please caution you all. There's some language here that you really need to do a research on, and especially you church people, you people who believe in the organized church and not the organism. There's some things that you really need to ask yourself what this means, what it is, and do your research. But in Revelation 2, we're going to begin with the 9th verse. Because God has a better plan. He has a better plan for us. But the requirement for us is to be faithful, okay? And you'll see that in the 10th verse. But the 9th verse says this: I know thy works and tribulations, poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blaspheme of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. You want to underline that, synagogue of Satan. See what they're talking about there. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer before the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And the 11th verse says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen, amen.
Amen. And reading from the Message Bible, Revelation 2, verses 9 to 11. I can see your pain and poverty, constant pain, dire poverty, but I also see your wealth. And I hear the lie in the claims of those who pretend to be good Jews, who in fact belong to Satan's crowd. Fear nothing in the things you're about to suffer, but stay on guard. Fear nothing. The devil is about to throw you in jail for a time of testing, 10 days. It won't last forever. Don't quit, even if it costs you your life. Stay there believing, I have a life crown size and ready for you. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the spirit blowing through the churches. Christ conquers are safe from devil death. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say this. A crown meant you had victory. A crown represent you had overcome some things. Mm-hmm. A crown put you at a different place altogether. And that's not where I'm going, but I did want to make mention because a crown was like a trophy for the champion at the game. So when they would have those games, the crown represented a trophy. But it was only to those who had remained faithful. Remember, we will receive the prize of victory, which is eternal life, according to James 1 and 12. The message to the Smyrna church was to remain faithful during that suffering. And I'm going to put a pin there for a moment because you're going to go through some things. And it's going to have to do with the church. And you're going to suffer. Nobody don't want to hear that word. But God has a better plan for you. And that plan is for us to be faithful. When I think about that, man, that's just, it just does something to me. What it means to be faithful unto death. So when you are filled with the Spirit, you will know the voice of God. And I want to give you some illustration of this. Because Satan has his words and God has his words. God's word is always about giving life. Satan's word is always about killing and destroying and causing havoc. And nothing is in tune with the truth. Blaspheming. Thing that Satan does. Pretending is a thing that Satan does. You got to know God's voice. You got to know the difference. So the Spirit says that some of you, not everybody now, some of you will be, now if you hear what the scripture is really saying, some of you will be cast. And when you be cast into prison, some of you will be tried. Some of you are going to, your spirit man going to be tried. You're going to have some tribulations. But he said, don't give up now because you're going through it. Because you got to know where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, you're at the synagogue of Satan. Think about that. What would Satan's synagogue be? I just find that so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, what you thought Satan's synagogue at? In hell with him? No. That's here. That's on earth. That's where you're going to be tried at. In Satan's synagogue. Well, you won't see it over the doorpost. So if you run around there trying to see it over the doorpost, you won't see it. But he says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You got to overcome this stuff. Don't worry about it. You won't be hurt of the second death. But you got to overcome. You got to be an overcomer of Satan's synagogue. Now, I'm sure you all know about Satan's synagogue. You've probably seen them. They have big steeples on them. Satan's synagogue. Just want to camp out there for a moment. They have hanging chandeliers. Satan's synagogue is a place where the people gather together and lock the doors and say, don't let nobody in because we are praying. That's Satan's synagogue. God never hid. It was Satan who had Adam to hide, if you remember. After Adam had been with Satan, remember, it was Satan. It was Adam who hid, and God had to ask him where you was at. And he said, here I am. See, that's when you're hiding, that's Satan's synagogue. When you don't want nobody in there but your group, that's Satan's synagogue. When you're taking up money and giving it to buy jets and beautiful cars and you got people who don't have food to eat, and Jesus said the poor you will have with you always, that's Satan's synagogue. You forget about the poor and you only focus on the rich. You give the rich the high seat. You give the celebrity high seat. That's Satan's synagogue. See, you got to do research on that, brothers and sisters, and find out where Satan's synagogue is.
Okay.
You may be surprised to know that Satan's synagogue has plush chairs and have hanging chandeliers and purple curtains and baptismal pools and Satan's synagogue, rising stages, which is above everybody. That's what he tries to do, Satan's synagogue. But that's not God's plan for you. His plan for you is to be faithful because he has something better for you. See, God has a better covenant. If you remember, he has a better covenant built on better promises. I believe I got some witnesses here.
Amen.
And we have a New Testament and not the old. Remember, I was came by Christ. We have a better law. Matter of fact, we have a better righteousness. Our righteousness is predicated on what God did through the man Christ Jesus. Our covenant brought us life. Remember Romans 8:2? Well, how about we go there, huh? Remember Romans 8:2? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen. In the Message Bible, Romans 8 and verse 2. Reading from the Message Bible. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us is no longer. Okay. Let me start that over. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying, black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, hasn't cleared the air, freeing you from a faded lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Amen.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pastor. Let me get you all to see this. We have a better covenant. We have a better plan. We operate on a better plan. And when I saw this, You know, I shared this with you all the other day, but I'm just glad to share it with you today. It's what the scripture really said. See, I was somewhat taken back with this scripture. It said that, let me just put it to you this way. Because I remember when I first saw this, I said, if that were only true. And then I said, if I knew how to make it mine. And the Spirit said, it's already yours. Just take your time and read this. See, I didn't know that he had blessed me with every spiritual blessing when I read Ephesians 1:3. And when I read it, it didn't register at first. And then I remember what 1 Corinthians 3:21 says, where he declared that all things are mine, whether revelation was given to Paul or to Silas or to Apollos. It didn't matter. Everything that the Father wrought in Christ in his great substitutionary became mine. So it was up to me to make this stuff mine because he had a better plan. So it makes no difference whether you believe, believer, educated, understand it, whether it's you're rich or poor. It doesn't make any difference. The bottom line is this. God has abundance of grace, and it's unveiled in Christ, and it belongs to each and every one of us. So when I read this scripture again, I said, he already did it. So if he already did it, why he needs to do it again? Because who does that? If your bill is already paid, why you paying it again? See how ridiculous that sounds? But that's what Satan gets you to thinking. Because he can put you in jail. That's why I read your Revelation too. Because you can get locked up in that way of thinking. In his synagogue. See, I mean, the Lord showed me that who Satan's synagogue, what was Satan's synagogue, and who belongs to Satan's synagogue, because, I mean, if I just tell you, this, that, and the third, you may not believe it, but when I show it to you in the scripture, if the Bible says Satan have a synagogue, how you going to say he don't?
No, right.
So there's different teaching in Satan's synagogue than in Christ's synagogue. Now, if you want to know if Christ, here's the seated at the right-hand side of the Father. I mean, read Hebrews 8. But here's what I want you to see. I want you to know when Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That means you can do it. That's what that means, absolutely. When you read Psalm 27:1, Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Who shall what shall I be afraid of? Listen, brothers and sisters, we can't care about what Satan is offering us. We got to care about what the Word of God is offering us.
Amen.
The Bible says that we have to become partakers. What that means? What does it mean to be a partaker? That means you taking your part in it. You got a part to play in it. You got to take your part. That's what it means to partake of it. You taking your part in it. I don't care what it is. You got a part to play. You may not be the halfback. You may be a lineman. But in the game, you take your part. You do your part. Everybody can't be the quarterback, so you take your part. And when you take your part, you're a partaker. That's all I'm trying to tell you. If you out here picking grapes, and you pulled some off the tree. That means you took your part. So the Bible says we have become partakers of his resurrection. The moment I become a new creation, according to Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, that's now. That's your spirit man. That ability that was exercised in the resurrection of Jesus belongs to us. It belongs to every believer. God transformed us. Now, notice what Ephesians 1:19-20 says. Let me for a moment give you somewhat of a breeze of a translation, or a somewhat of a more enlightened translation, because I want to show you the exceedingly and greatness, or the ability of God working on our behalf as believers. We are to let God operate in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You stop trying to do what the mind says and allow the spirit. So Revelation says, he that have a ear, let him hear what the spirit is saying. So we're supposed to be hearing what the spirit is saying. That's a better plan, okay? That's a better plan. Just to be faithful to death, and I will give you a crown of life. We're going to leave it right there. Anyone have any comments on what's been said today, yesterday, this week, or you want to hold it to Sunday, that's fine. But we're talking about a better plan for you, life in the Word of God. That's where your life has to be, in the Word of God, not in the synagogue, especially not in Satan's synagogue, if you know what Satan's synagogue is. Now, everybody don't know, but I know you know, so that's good. Anybody else?
Amen, amen. So that last scripture you gave us was Ephesians 1:19-20, Pastor.
That's what I said. Yeah. It was 19:20. I just kind of like quoted from it, but I can read it. I can read that for you. The first chapter of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 19-20. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believes according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And reading that from the New Living Translation, it says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. Amen, amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Well, we'll see you on Sunday for the review.